The fourth commandment is, beloved, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Lord's Day 38 states, what doth God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God, to hear his word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor, as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works, and yield myself to the Lord, to work by his Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Beloved, in this sermon, I'm going to assume that all of you, or almost all of you, are familiar with the basics of the fourth commandment. I think for the people here, that's a pretty safe assumption. I certainly hope so. You're familiar with the idea of the Sabbath, rest. Rest from our own sins and works, and rest in Jesus Christ crucified and risen. You're well aware of the change in the Sabbath from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week because of Christ's resurrection from the dead on that day, because of his pouring out of the Holy Spirit on that day. So it is what John was referring to in Revelation 1 verse 10, the Lord's Day. That's established. My approach then this evening will be especially practical. And usually, but not always, I'm going to say first of all what we're not to do regarding the Lord's Day. Or, to pick up a term from our sermon title, how to ruin the day. And by the way, how to ruin yourself and your family. We'll make it very direct, verging on blunt even. And then secondly, we'll say, but there's a better way. Why not do this instead? And that's the way of honoring the day and growing in grace. And then third, though I'm not going to follow this order as I'm saying all the time, I'll be bringing in throughout, but especially at the end of the sections, the biblical and theological bases for not ruining the day in yourself, or for, on the other hand, honoring the day and honoring the Lord. Let's look then tonight at ruining or honoring the Lord's Day. First, we're going to consider this from the perspective of what we do before the day. Second, at church. And third, during the day. And as often is the case with ministers, sometimes with your first point, it gets rather large, and then you've got to squash the second one, and the third one gets shorter shrift, and that's going to happen tonight. I may as well be up front with you already. Honoring the Lord's Day or ruining it. Before the day, at church, and during the day. Did you know that you can only keep the Lord's Day holy by engaging in some forethought even before the day starts? If you think, to put it the other way, that you can keep the Lord's Day without doing anything in respect to it or thinking about it throughout the week, you're really wrong. You're really off on the wrong track. This is very obvious if one thinks, first of all, with regard to one's work. I'm thinking by work here in the sense of paid employment. There are jobs which are not works of necessity, jobs which are not works of mercy. A good number, if not the majority of jobs, fall into this category. Not works of necessity, not works of mercy, and therefore jobs which it is sinful to engage in on the Lord's Day, such as a shop assistant or a bricklayer. So that, consider yourself now a young person or an older person going into a job interview and terms being laid in, you need to think about the fourth commandment, getting into your job so that you have it clearly understood that you will not be working on the Lord's Day and that they will not be requiring you to work on that Lord's Day. And better yet, get it written into a contract if there is such a thing, or clearly understood. That's crucial. The fourth commandment is in your mind when you're going into the job interview. And you're not going to back down or cave in if they say to you, "Well, I'm sorry, sir, if you can't work on the Lord's Day, this isn't the job for you." And then they watch to see, before you go out through the door, if you're going to turn around and say, "Ah, well, as long as I'll just have to work the odd Sunday." And then they smile to themselves and then they have you. Because the Christian needs to be sure that he never accepts such work on a Sunday, because if you do even once, then, and this is the way even with employment law, then it's not a matter of religious principle with you. It's just a matter of a strong preference. Not a religious principle, only a matter of strong preference, and therefore you actually are willing on certain conditions to work upon the Lord's Day. And then, of course, employers being what employers usually are, since all of mankind is totally depraved, you can expect them to push you to sin on other Lord's Days too. And there you are, you weren't even thinking about a Sunday, the fourth commandment meant nothing to you, and that was the problem when you went into the interview, but you have already ruined the Lord's Day, because there's Sundays down the line that you're not going to get to church. Your testimony has already been compromised. The employer knows it, and the other members of staff will see that you do this work not of necessity or mercy on a Sunday, and they're going to wave the finger at you and say, "Hypocrite," if you witness to them. Of course. And you already feel that. You're aware of that. You're constrained already. There are other jobs which are works of necessity or mercy. And the examples here include many within the sphere of medicine, policing, and emergency services. And it is lawful for a Christian to work in such spheres. It is definitely not per se sinful to do courses, to train for, and then work in such fields. Of course, because the person isn't going to get to as many Lord's Days as other people, assuming everybody has the same degree of health on Sundays, you're going to have to be a little bit more careful, maybe quite a bit more careful, because even the fact of missing the church services and that day of spiritual rest more frequently than others can have a detrimental effect on your spiritual health. So you need to be on the lookout, because you're losing out on the public worship of God and the preaching of the word and the communion of the saints of necessity. It's not per se sinful, but there's a lack there. And that means that you need to make up for it with extra reading of scripture, because you didn't have a Sunday like the normal lot of God's people. You need to do extra reading of scripture or good reformed literature And you should watch or listen to sermons later. And in the 21st century, we've got video, we've got audio, we have them online, and we can get them on discs. It has never been easier. And for a small fee, you can even buy electronic equipment and plug them into your ears, and you can do them at any time of the day almost. Never been easier. And those who do works of necessity and mercy that enables them lawfully to work on the Lord's day need to be careful of what we might call bad bargains. Okay, so I can legitimately work on the Lord's day. True. Does that mean that I should deliberately accept as much Sunday work as I can get because ordinarily I get a higher rate of pay? And now you're pushing the envelope. And then you're a bargain there. I get a bit more money if I get less church. That's the temptation. Or should I, since it's okay per se to work on the Lord's Day, should I deliberately accept more Sundays in order to save up more holidays so that I get a longer break in the summer? That's a temptation. And someone in a job like that has probably thought of it, probably been confronted with it. Just as in every job, there are temptations, there are ways of bargaining to get something you want, but you know you're sinning. And then the Christian should try, in such a job, to work other days, let's say New Year's Eve or something that's not a Sunday, to try and, you know, because he has priorities. The fourth commandment is a principle with him. He has four commandments, 10 commandments, written in stone as ways of expressing gratitude and helping him in this Christian life. And so he is thinking to himself, you know, if I take maybe New Year's Eve, you know, then I could work one last Sunday. You know the sort of thing. If I can get on in this and help someone out, then I can maybe get to church more often. Because the heart will do what the heart will do. If you've got a principle and you want to do it, there are ways in which you have a little bit of leeway. Everyone understands that. That's fairly simple. Principles. Principles that weigh with you. Things you have in the front of your mind or the back of your mind when you think about work, when you're choosing a career, when you're in your job interview, you're thinking not only, is my tie straight? Have I polished my shoes properly? Do I understand what this business is? How am I going to deal with my nerves? But also, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Only works of necessity and mercy justify any Sunday work. I have to be careful, because the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if I get into a job, that's going to affect me for weeks, months, maybe years, maybe 10 years into the future, and I don't want to get myself stuck or locked into a system in which I'm compromised or in which I'm going to be brought down, because I'm going to have to stand before my judge on the last day. And I'm also responsible for my family. And I've got to set a good example for them. And I realize this too, because I need the Lord's Day. I need the public worship of the church, because I am very weak. And I know I'm very weak because I'm tempted with all sorts of sins. I sinfully yield to those temptations too. I've got to be careful. The fourth commandment, a principle that guides us in our work. And this fourth commandment affects our thinking too regarding travel. And travel automatically involves forethought, because you typically don't just get up in the morning and then drive to Belfast International Airport and hop on a plane. If you're going on holiday, it involves flight or a ferry. Well, you've got to be careful, of course, that it doesn't go on the Lord's Day. Because, or rather, you don't go when it's going on the Lord's Day, even though it might be a bit cheaper. Because you're thinking to yourself, well, I've got a commandment written in stone, the fourth commandment, my place is in church, and I don't want to spend the day going through an airport, not very pleasant at the best of times, but an awful lot more pleasant, no doubt, than going on ship to America in the 1500s or 1600s. And if you're taking a flight from America, for instance, you're not going to be buying a ticket for Saturday because the flight is 6 or 7 hours, and then you're going, if you're flying from the East Coast, 5 hours forward, and the flights usually go over the night. So then you're thinking about time zone. You think, well, take me into the Lord's Day. I'll go the day before, or I'll go on Monday. And if you are going to be away over a Lord's Day, what you're going to do, because you've got responsibilities before God, you think beforehand, where am I going to church? You don't only think, what hotel am I going to stay in? What are the places I want to see? Where should I stay in this country or island that I can easily get to the places I want to see? But you're also thinking, where can I go to church? Are there any decent churches there? Are there places that I can go in a good conscience and worship God? And you check it out beforehand, or you ask people who have already been there, or you go online. And sometimes you may find yourself somewhere where it is impossible to go to a good church. And there you think, what's the best I can do here? Have I got a hotel that has Wi-Fi? And then you think, well, we have Jacob Buchan doing the evening services for us. I can tune in. And then you think to yourself, what time zone am I in? What time is it here for the sermons? Or if that isn't possible, you bring some CDs and DVDs, and in all your packing, you include them, and you pack something preferably light and small that can play the CDs or the DVDs, because they're not very good on their own. You need a player. And sometimes you end up, though, with people not thinking about the fourth commandment, which means not thinking about the Lord, their priorities all messed up. And then partway through their holidays, they realize, I'm going to be away on a Sunday. And that's why the fourth commandment begins, remember the Sabbath day. Remember. You say, oh, well, I forgot. Well, forgetting things isn't necessarily sinful. Everybody forgets things. But if you're commanded to remember the Lord's Day by God Himself, that's a sinful forgetting. And it's indicative that your heart isn't in the right place. You haven't got things straight. Your priorities are all mixed up and wrong. Everybody has some principles, things that shape and mold your decisions. And for a Christian, the fourth commandment is one of them. And you say, oh, Pastor, you're saying this about holidays. All I want is a good time for my family. Ah, there's your problem. All I want is a good time for my family. Maybe you didn't use the words you wanted, but maybe the words actually expressed all that you really did want. That is, all I'm thinking about is my family. That's it. That's wrong. You should be thinking, number one, here is the Lord God of heaven and earth who sent his Son to die for my sins and who has bought me body and soul so that I should not live unto myself or even unto my family, but I should live unto the Lord God who bought me with his precious blood. And then, under him, seeking to serve him, I have responsibilities to my family. And my responsibility to my family is that I teach them to seek first the kingdom of heaven. Because we wouldn't want, now would we, to think more highly of our families than the God of heaven and earth. That would be wrong, wouldn't it? The God who made the world and who has given us an inheritance which we're going to receive through the righteousness of faith. And we're not interested in that. It's more important for us. We get a week at the beach. Nothing wrong with a week at the beach, especially if you have children. And they just love it. And that's a good thing to do with them. But there's more to your family. It would be entirely appropriate for someone engaging in this sinful behavior, forgetting about the Lord of heaven, forgetting about the fourth commandment, and maybe not even remembering it, if the Lord were to send upon you a week of rain so that it lashed down on you and you didn't even get to the beach, and your hired car got broken into, and some pickpocket stole not only your wallet but your passport, so that you had to spend 2 or 3 days at the consulate and you had an absolutely wretched time, and God would say to you then, you see that? You didn't think about me there. You thought about your family. You just wanted that. You didn't put me first, and I went and ruined your holiday. Now next time, after I chastised you out of love, next time, put me first, and you know what? Not only will you have peace in your heart, but you probably will have even a more enjoyable holiday. Seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, and all these other things will be added unto you. You're not going to lose out. It's not going to be worse. How could it be worse? If God is the God who loves you and sent his son to the cross. Oh, Pastor, but I feel that I need a rest on holiday. That's funny you should say that. The Lord's Day is the New Testament Sabbath. That is, it's a day of rest in Jesus Christ. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, but I don't want that rest. I don't want that rest. I want a nice wee hotel with an ocean view and towel and beach, and there's nothing wrong with that. It'd be quite nice and refreshing and relaxing. But it's that rest only, and that rest first. But surely you're not going to be a loser if you honor the Lord. And if you're seeking the day of rest that's enshrined in the fourth commandment and that comes to us through Jesus Christ, the Lord of rest, and if you're thinking this other rest is more important, then there's a problem, a deep spiritual problem. You need to change your whole way of thinking. You need to repent and start believing what God says in his word and taking his thoughts as much higher than your own thoughts and jettisoning those foolish thoughts, because you're thinking carnally like the world. And maybe God, in chastising someone for this completely wrong view of rest, would say, you want rest. You reject the rest of the risen Jesus Christ in the day of rest. I'll give you over to worry and anxiety. Because that's what you've chosen. Until you realize that you've got to reject your own selfish will and bend your will so that you will my will. And there are other ways to ruin your Lord's Day too, and ruin your life. You could accept babysitting on a Sunday. Now, I'm not now talking about what those who give you their baby to look after on the Sunday, what they're doing with their Lord's Day, so that you then miss out on the church services. Imagine if you were going out to work. Work starts at 9 o'clock. And someone landed on your doorstep and said, will you look after my baby for the day? And you'd say, well, I've got to go to work. I can't look after your baby today. Well, you've got to go to church. You've got to go to church. You have a calling to go to church. So you don't accept something like that. That's going to mean you break God's commandment. And then you run ragged. Let's say you're an older parent, an older person, a grandparent, and maybe an older grandparent. And you don't get to the services. Or if you do get to the service, you run ragged and you can hardly follow it. Well, then you see, you're not thinking right about this calling before God. And then you have a chance to say to him, I really love being with the grandchildren. You know that I love to be with the grandchildren. But I've got 6 days and I've got a calling before the Lord. Oh, you want me to have the child? Well, I'm going to take the child to church. Is that okay? Yes. We'll take the child to church. We'll have a meal with him. That's fine. But you don't want it to run you ragged and you can't do. You can't think of church, and you don't want it, so you have to miss the worship of God. That's a calling. It's a non-negotiable. Or let's say you want to ruin your Lord's Day, and your child has a birthday on a Sunday, and your child is going to have his birthday probably on a Sunday
once every 7 years. It's not a very profound statement, but it's going to be the same. One in seven chance every year. And you decide you're going to have a birthday party on the Lord's Day. And by a birthday party here, I mean, you know, the full 9 yards. You're going ahead with it. And when, what do you teach your children with that? You're teaching your children that their day, that is their birthday, their day, is more important than God's day. Wow. The Holy One of Israel. A birthday for my daughter or my son is more important than the law of God delivered on Mount Sinai and the God whom the church worships. That's what we're teaching our children. But God did not, though our children are precious to us, God did not write their birthday on a table of stone at Mount Sinai and say, with thunder and lightning and earthquakes and so forth, remember their birthday, whatever day of the week it comes on. And then, think to yourself, not only what you're saying, if you're really that day more highly than the Lord's Day and missing church and all the balloons, etc., etc., then you're teaching your own children that you think that their day is more important than the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the salvation of the church and the honor of God's name. Imagine a child thinking that one through. So God says in the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day, and we skip church because of a birthday party. Boy, my parents really think something of me. They think that I'm more important than God. They think that my day is more important than the Lord's day. Wow. Boy, that really helps me as a child grow in humility and the fear of God. And if you want to give your child a birthday party, a perfectly lawful and permissible thing, 6 days shalt thou labor. There's always Saturday. There's always Monday. Wouldn't that do perfectly well? And then your child says, well, may I have my birthday party on my birthday last year? Why does it have to be on a Saturday this year? It's the day before my birthday. Well, son, we went to church. We're Christians here. We believe God's word. The fourth commandment. This Holy Spirit was poured out on that day. It's called the Lord's Day. I want to teach you that we in our house, we worship God. And we learn his word in this house. And you're important too. I want you to know that you're important. But you're not as important as the Lord. Now you wouldn't want me to think that. You wouldn't want your mommy and daddy to think that you're important, more important than God, would you? Do you think you're more important than God? Oh no, my. Well sure then, we've got to keep the fourth commandment. And sure won't tomorrow night do well. We'll have your lovely cake. And we'll have balloons and we'll have all your friends over. And you know what? You'll have a great time. You'd have a great time. Yeah, Mama, you're so wise. Thank you. Well, yeah. It's not that difficult. And likewise, you should be prepared so that you know what to do if you get an unexpected visitor on the Lord's Day. A neighbor or a family member drops in. And then you bump into me on a Tuesday, let's say, and say, oh, sorry, Pastor, I wasn't there on Sunday night because Uncle John dropped by. And there's all sorts of ways you could respond to that. Here's one way. So you've apologized to me. Have you confessed your sin to God yet? And sought pardon for this? I mean, if Uncle John comes next Sunday, you'll be missing church too. Or here's another response. Let's say Uncle John appeared at 8:30 on Monday morning and you start work at 9 o'clock and it takes you 15 minutes to get to work. And Uncle John came at 8:30 expecting you in the morning expecting you to make him tea. And he said, that's Uncle John. I have to make him a tea and make him some scones and maybe some sandwiches. And then you get on the phone and you say to your boss, well, I can't come in because Uncle John just dropped by. And it wouldn't be right to turn Uncle John away without a cup of tea. Or maybe you come late or you don't come at all. And you expect your boss to deal with that. It's absurd, isn't it? Absolutely absurd. And yet, to speak as a fool for a minute, Which would actually be worse? Taking the day off work or coming in an hour or two late if Uncle John appeared half an hour before work starts on a Monday morning, or skipping a worship service? Which would actually be worse? See, there's a terrible inversion in our priorities, a terrible worldliness and carnality. We're all concerned about Uncle John getting upset. And who cares about the Lord? Who cares? Who cares about the church? Who cares about the other saints who miss me? And if everybody behaved like that, where would the church be? And so it is that the Lord gets much less consideration than Uncle John or your employer. Because you keep Uncle John right if he came on a Sunday, and you keep your employer right if Uncle John came at 8:30 on a Monday. Instead, let's play the whole scene over again. Uncle John, nice to see you. You're looking well. You just didn't come at the best time, though. We're leaving for church in 10 minutes. Oh, do you really have to go to church? Oh, yeah, but the fourth commandment. We believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. This home follows Jesus Christ. We honor the Lord. We assemble with the saints. We want to hear the preaching of the Word of God. And you know what? We've got room in the car for you. We only have 2 children. That's a 5-seater. You're very welcome to come with us, or if you want to drive along. Then if you want to come with us to church, sure, we can drive back. We can make you a cup of tea after the evening service, talk about the worship, and then you can drive home. Sure, it's not far better. We can do all these things together, Uncle Joe. We can share these things. Besides, God's your maker. The Lord's no man's debtor. The best way to spend the Lord's day. And then instead of smashing the fourth commandment and showing disrespect to Almighty God, then you witness. Then you witness. But if you say to Uncle John, well, you know, we were going to church, and now, yeah, okay, you're here, you're that important, we'll sit down and we'll have tea with you, you know, then you're saying, in effect, that Uncle John is a jealous God who visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of those who do not make him tea on a Sunday night when he just happens to drop by. That's what you're saying. And then think, too, about the awful witness to Uncle John. What must he think about himself? These people missed the public worship of Almighty God because of me. They think, and I haven't seen them for 6 months, they think that I'm more important than the maker of heaven and earth, the one they confess in the first line of the Apostles' Creed. Boy, they don't take God and his word very seriously. I don't think much of their church, if that's what their church teaches them. I wouldn't need to go to them in church. They don't even believe it themselves. These people skip divine worship if I just happen to drop by. Boy, they're not much of Christians. That home isn't faithful to Christ. I don't trust those people. Amongst the various breakings of the fourth commandment today, there is a relatively new one. At least I haven't heard of it until modern times. It's called taking time out. Taking time out. I really haven't worked out the origin of this very worldly idea. But what happens is that someone is living an ungodly lifestyle and their conscience is pricking them like crazy. Or they're departing doctrinally and they know it. And then they say, you know, Pastor, I need to get my head sorted out with some things. I've got to work a few things through. I'm going to take time out. I'm not going to be at church for the next few Sundays or so on. I'm just going to think it through. Well, that's real bright, isn't it? Real bright. In other words, I'm confused, and probably there's a whole lot of things going on in their hearts and minds. And the answer is, break the fourth commandment. Break the fourth commandment. That's the answer. And break my membership vows, where I've sworn to support my local church and be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, including keeping the fourth commandment out of gratitude. some messed up in doctrine or life or both. I'm going to take time out. I'm going to forget about the fourth commandment. I'm going to forget about my responsibilities. And you're already understanding the idea of all this. It's a ruse to get people used to the idea, including the minister and the elders, that they're not coming back. And so the first Sunday or two, well, so-and-so, he's on time out. And then the third Sunday, well, he's obviously still on time out. And then when he doesn't come there the fifth Sunday, people are sort of expecting it. And then you get a letter in the post, the person's asking for their papers. And it was all a ruse from the very start. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And we don't care if you're taking time out. That's a load of nonsense. It's written in stone. Here's another way to ruin your Lord's day. On a Saturday, your health isn't that good. And that's not your fault either. And if all of us live long enough, none of us will have good health. You're aged, you're not well, and then you foolishly think you're 20 years younger on a Saturday and you overdo it. And this is not as grave an issue, but you do need to think, there's the fourth commandment coming. I need to be careful that I don't overdo it. I'm not supposed to be wrecked so that I can't climb in the car and go to church. I'll ease off because I'm remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I want to be in church, therefore I'll calm down. And for younger people and all of us, you don't want to be staying up late on a Saturday night, and you don't want to be staying up late on a Saturday night after midnight either, if it's going to leave you, as it almost invariably will, tired and sleepy on the Lord's Day, and probably grumpy too. And then if you'll be battling to stay awake during the service, and especially the preaching, because the preaching is monologue, so that's harder. And you don't want to ruin your Lord's Day. You want to remember the Sabbath day and then honor the Lord. And there are a whole host of other ways, wickedly, to ruin your Lord's Day that involve ill health. You have a sickly member of the family. Chronic illness. Long term. Someone in your house who needs a lot of care and prayer support. A spouse or a parent or a child. And then you don't want to go to church. You maneuver your sickly family member to the conclusion, well, I'm so sick. Not only can I not go to church, but I need you with me. You know how this one goes. You know, dear, I don't think you're looking terribly well. I really would. You'd need me with you this morning. You'd need me with you. What if anything went wrong? And the person just doesn't want to go to church. You know, dear, in the evening service here, you're not looking well either. I think I should. And then it becomes all sorts of piety. I think I should stay at home and look after you. Now, such things can happen. There are times where your wife or husband or child or parents are sick and you're doing it in good conscience. But there's also the other one too. The real reason is, let's say, I've slandered other people in the church this past week, especially in the last few days, and the last thing I want to go in is and look at them. I can't bear to look at them. Dear, you're not feeling very well. You need me. You need me to stay with you, don't you? Or it's just sheer worldliness. I have no heart for the worship of God. I do not want the fellowship with God's people. In fact, really, I feel that I can't fellowship with God's people. And as for the spiritual antithesis, I'm so worldly, I feel the spiritual antithesis not between me and the world. The spiritual antithesis is between me and the other people in the church. That's what it comes to. And then you get the smoke screen. Somebody gives you the ring around with the old favourite. See the people in the church? They're not friendly. I think they're all avoiding me. Beloved, the scripture repeats that God is not mocked. You ruin the Lord's day, you ruin yourself. And people who ruin the Lord's day, since it's a commandment in stone, and it's so tied up with sanctification and the honouring of God's name, the people who do that, unless they repent, end up ultimately under discipline. Or just leaving. Because there's all sorts of lies in the whole system. And God detests lies. Confess sins openly before God, including sins against the fourth commandment. The Lord knows that His people get weary of worship. We all do. We're sinful and weak. You don't cover your sins. You uncover them. And then God covers them in the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's not just other people's sickness that we can use as excuses. It's even our own sickness. People are never more sick on a Sunday when they can't be bothered. The real reason for that sickness, they've got a wee bit of a sniffle, I can't go to church. They've got little or no love for the Lord, and they're deeply backslidden, or they're just not believers at all. Because the real problem isn't any physical sickness. It's a spiritual sickness, a deep spiritual malaise, and unrepented of, it is fatal. And sometimes with such people, if they have a full-time job, it gets really embarrassing because their absenteeism from the church services, remember they're supposed to be at both services, their absenteeism is maybe 10%. They miss 10% of services, which is terrible. Or 20%. Or 30%. Or 40%. Or more. Their absenteeism from work is 2%. Or maybe 5%. It's maybe 10 times worse in church. And yet the strange thing is, to go to a worship service in a nice warm building for an hour and a half, twice on a Sunday, is an awful lot more difficult than 9 to 5. An awful lot more difficult. Especially if your job is more strenuous or you're working with awkward customers. But the slight cold that would never put them off school or off work will put them off church. Just they can't. Oh, I'm going to die. Dying. But even though I'm a wee bit sick, I'm well enough to go to school. I've got to learn, so I've got to go to school. But what about the school of Jesus Christ? Are you keen on learning of me, as he said? Interested in learning of him? Well, I've got to go to work because I've got to make money. Well, what about buying the truth and selling it not? And the issue is, with such excuses, as with all excuses, it's lies. The heart will do what the heart will do. A very simple principle that most people do what they want to do. And if they really want to do it, they do it. And if they don't want to do it, they don't want to do it. And Moses said in Numbers, be sure your sins will find you out. They sure will. And the main problem here is unbelief. Isaiah 58. This is God's promise. His promise to those who honor the Lord's day. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasures, nor speaking thine own words, then, here's the promise, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. You know, Sabbath, nah. Church, nah. Don't believe that. All these promises can't really be true. And then you're deceived. And those who are deceived are destroyed. And they ruin the Lord's day. And God ruins man. Beloved, we have enough to think about, I think, with the first point of this sermon. We'll hold off with the rest. But I want to leave you with the comforting assurance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. On that Friday,
2,000 years ago, he made a sacrifice for sins. A sacrifice for sins against all the Ten Commandments, including the fourth. And on the Sunday, the third day, he rose again from the dead, having paid for our redemption, and consecrated that day which he chose as a day unto himself. And he consecrated that day to himself so that we would consecrate that day to him. So that he would consecrate us to himself more and more. And that's the function and the blessedness and the comfort of the Lord's Day. You don't lose by honoring it. You lose by breaking it and ruining it. You gain by honoring it. Even as Isaiah 58 verse 14 promises. Amen. Our Father in heaven, bless to us thy word. Undeceive us, Lord. Cause us to unlearn the foolishness of our ways. And make the Sabbath day a blessing to us, so that as we honor it, we find the day to be honorable and enriching and massively beneficial. For we ask in Jesus' name, Amen.